Hi there on this Monday, June the 17th, 2013, broadcasting live from the historic Studio A of Worldwide KFUO, the longest continual broadcast studio in the world. And we're kind of got mixed emotions because at the end of this week, we'll be leaving these historic studios built in 1927, broadcast since here. And we'll be moving to our new site at the worldwide headquarters of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, the International Center, where the new studios are all done, looking bright, looking really nice. So we'll kick that off a week from today at this very time. No, 10 o'clock, I'm sorry. 10 o'clock, next Monday, June the 24th, we will have the official blessing of the new stations beginning in the chapel with a worship service. And then we'll be moving up to the studio complex and blessing that. So you're invited to join us live here in the St. Louis area. That's located at the very intersection of I-44 and Lindbergh or Kirkwood Road. But we're also going to be broadcasting that live from 10 to 11 a.m. next week. So please join us. Also want to encourage you to check out our website, KFUO.org, or our Facebook page, where you'll see that we're giving away a Wi-Fi radio, one a month for the next year. We did one for Mother's Day in May, and we're doing one for Father's Day in June. And all you have to do is go on our Facebook page, tell us why your dad ought to get one of these, have your friends vote for it there on the like, and your dad can get this great Wi-Fi radio. Listen to Worldwide KFUO 24/7 or about 10,000 other stations around the world. We also want to thank God for our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin. You know, a lot of people, I know some of my relatives, they're out with their high school kids looking at potential colleges, touring the campuses, checking them all out. So great time this time of year to check out Concordia University, Wisconsin. It's in the Milwaukee area, Mequon, right on the shores of Lake Michigan. Gorgeous campus, all kinds of good things happening there in Christian education. You can take a virtual tour at their website, cuw.edu. This week on Faith and Family, we're going to be looking at a topic that's probably not looked at much, in-laws. So all this week, we'll be looking at in-laws. Today, our guest to kick it off is a man who wrote a little booklet, a nice little booklet on the subject of in-laws, Pastor Wayne Mack. He's a pastor, best-selling author, biblical counselor. It states here, Wayne, you live 9 months of the year in Pretoria, South Africa, and the other 3 months spend roaming around teaching and speaking and counseling, I would take it, here in the United States.
That's right.
So welcome to Faith and Family, Wayne.
Well, thank you. Great to be with you.
Great. So it's great to have you with us because, you know, when we were looking at this topic, we were looking for people that had written on this, and not many people have done so, as you stay in the start to your little booklet, and picked it up, read it, liked it. So we're so privileged and honored to have you on. Why do you think, Wayne, do you have any thoughts on why so little has been published to help Christians with this important area of in-law relationships?
That's a good question, and my answer is I don't know. I don't know, because it certainly is an important subject, and as I was asked to write a booklet on this subject, I wrote a book some time ago which was called Sweethearts for a Lifetime, and a section of that book included the matter of how to relate to your parents who after you're married, and also some of that was written for parents in terms of how to relate to their married children. And then I was asked to write a specific booklet on the subject of in-laws, and as I had previously written on it and as I did more research on it, I was frankly very surprised as I went to the website and I found out that there was almost nothing written on it, especially from a Christian perspective. There were some articles there written by people who made no profession of being Christians, and they indicated that it was tremendously important. Years ago, a man by the name of Jay Adams in his booklet, Solving Marriage Problems, mentioned, and I remember this having studied under Jay for a number of years at Westminster Seminary, he had said that the in-law problem is one of the biggest problems in marriages, but in terms of exactly why, no one has picked up, or very seldom have people picked up on it and actually written on it. I really don't know.
I don't either, and because, as you point out so well in your little booklet, the Bible does talk about this, and we, in reality, I think most families are aware of in-law issues, good and bad. And so I was surprised, too, but we're thankful that you've written this fine little booklet. We're going to link right to it to where you can get a copy of this booklet, In-Laws Married with Parents, written by our guest, Pastor Wayne Mack. And you can do that on our website, kfuo.org. Then you'll find the link on the archived version of this show. And we invite you to call in with your questions, your comments for Pastor Mack. In the St. Louis area, 314-505-7850, worldwide, 1-800-730-2727, or you may email us, please email us, at family@kfuo.org. Wayne, you cite some research, and as I said, I think all of our experience tells us that the in-law issue is much more than, you know, the one that gets all the jokes. Comedians talk about this persistently, the mother-in-law issue. And you wrote this: when families unite, problems multiply. For a young married couple, there's a lot to have dumped on you at one time. And so, you know, your family expands very quickly when you get married. All of both families, you know, are upon this married couple. And as you point out so saliently, this isn't just for newly married, newlyweds that the in-laws are an issue. It can flare up at any time throughout a marriage. And so one has to be cognizant of what God's Word has to say about it. So tell us, let's begin there. The in-laws is more than just the mother-in-law issue, is it not?
That's for sure. The father-in-law, brother-in-law, when you marry, you don't just marry an individual, you marry into a family. And consequently, it's not just the mother-in-law. That's, as you said, where the jokes are usually. But it's not just mother-in-law. In my experience from more than 40 years of counseling in marriage situations, there are a lot of problems that arise not just because of mother-in-law issues, but father-in-law, brother-in-law, sister-in-law issues as well.
Yeah, and you know, I was thinking here that so much of the time when there's a wedding and a reception, so forth, people always give their marital advice, don't they? And sometimes those from nearest and dearest in our own blood families on both sides start to intervene, let's say, some in a good way, some in a not-so-healthy way. And so I like how you express that when we marry, we don't just marry this individual that becomes our husband or wife, but we bring in all their other relationships. And so what's critical here is the priority of relationship. And your booklet, its subtitle really speaks to this, Married with Parents. And so talk to us about the biblical perspective of the priority of relationships.
Well, in the very beginning of the Bible, Genesis 2 and verse 24, even before Adam and Eve had any children, God said in giving them premarital counseling, and what you have in Genesis 2:24 is really a blueprint for the marriage relationship, where he says, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." Now, nowhere in all of the Bible are we commanded to be one flesh with our children or with anyone else, but we are commanded to be one flesh with our spouse, our wife, or our husband, which indicates that the relationship between the husband and wife is a very unique kind of relationship that really supersedes every other human relationship.
Yes, and you know, we might say, too, at the outset here, that not only, you know, the families of both husband and wife can begin to put a wedge between that top relationship that God intends between husband and wife, but even, you know, I learned as a parish pastor, friends can even intervene in unhealthy ways between husband and wife. And so, you know, could we say, Wayne, that God is saying here that he highly values and respects this foundational relationship of the church and society of husband and wife? And so the rest should not infringe upon this and take claim on any equal or higher priority.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The fact that God, in Ephesians chapter 5, he uses the marriage relationship as an illustration of our relationship with him. He says that he's talking about husband-wife relationship, and then all of a sudden he says, this is a great mystery, but I am really speaking about the relationship between Christ and the church. And so what he's saying is that a husband-wife relationship is so important because it does illustrate the kind of relationship that we have with Christ, with us frequently in the Bible being referred to as the bride and Jesus Christ being the bridegroom as well. And so in the marriage relationship, you have the husband who represents, as it were, Jesus Christ. And because it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her that he might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of the water of the word. And then it turns around and it says to the wife that she is to submit herself unto her own husband as unto the Lord. And so it brings the relationship of the husband and the relationship of the individual believer to Jesus Christ right into the forefront of the picture.
Well said. And, you know, also God says that when he joins a husband and wife together as one, the rest of us should take note of that and not try to split it up. And so it's almost like when you say that at weddings these days, the minute you get done, everybody's going to try to break it up. And enormous pressures today, I think, that to try to get in between that oneness and separate it. And in-laws and the relationships sometimes have a way of really attacking that oneness and that, as you said, that picture of the relationship between the church, the bride, and the bridegroom, Christ. And so, you know, as we respect that one and no one should try to break up that relationship, God wants us not to be interferent in these marriage relationships. And the rest of us on the outside can certainly, with our sinful natures, start to do that at times. Now, I like what you wrote about most people not truly comprehending, Wayne, what Genesis means when it says leaving mother and father. Let's start with that topic and have you talk about first what it doesn't mean, you know, because I think when you talk about what it means positively, we should also say what it doesn't mean, so that a lot of people have wrong ideas about what that means to leave your mother and your father and cleave to your new spouse. And you can participate in that, dear listener, by calling in 314-505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727 or email us at family@kfuo.org. Wayne, what doesn't it mean when the Bible says leave our father and our mother for our new God-given husband or wife?
Well, it certainly doesn't mean that you stop honoring your mother and your father. The Bible says honor your mother and your father, and it doesn't say honor your mother and father until you get married. So whatever it means to leave mother and father, it doesn't mean you abandon them. It doesn't mean you stop honoring them. Nor does it mean that you necessarily must leave them geographically. We live in South Africa, and we have a rather sizable home, and we bought that sizable home because our son and daughter-in-law, who now have 9 children, 6 biological children, and 3 of them are foster children, black children,
that
they've brought into their home. And there's a wall between us, not a social wall, but there's a literal wall and a door which leads to their part of the house and our part of the house. But we are not geographically separated. We have a daughter also who's married to a South African pastor, and she lives about 5 minutes away. We're part of the same church. In fact, I'm one of the pastors or elders in the same church with my son-in-law. And for a long time, I was one of the pastors of a church where my son was the main teaching pastor. But we're very close to one another geographically, but they have left us, and we have allowed them to leave as well. So whatever it means, it doesn't mean that you must necessarily leave them geographically. Now, leaving them geographically sometimes, for some people, makes it easier to facilitate the other kind of leaving, but that isn't something primarily of what the Bible's talking about. What the Bible's talking about is leaving such things as an inordinate dependency relationship on your parents, where you are depending upon your parents in the way that you did when you were a small child. When you were a small child, obviously you were dependent upon your parents. When you were small enough, they changed your diapers, they bathed you, they provided the food for you, and they even fed you. But that's not all that's meant in terms of leaving mother and father, but it does mean that you don't depend upon them the way that you previously had depended upon them. It also would mean that you must be able to be mature and adult so that you don't just react against them. As long as you're reacting against your parents for saying, if mom and dad did it this way, then I will not do it, you're still tied to your mother and father. You're tied by your bitterness. You're tied by your resentment. And it doesn't mean either that you allow your parents, leaving means that you will not depend upon your parents for approval, so that if your parents don't approve of something, even if you believe it is something that is biblically warranted, you are more concerned about pleasing your parents and not offending your parents than it is that you are desiring to please God and not offend God. It means that you leave your mother and father in the sense that they are not your main confidants when it comes to issues in your life.
That's so important, too, isn't it? I mean that, you know, a word that we toss around is intimacy, where we share everything, you know. And we know as pastoral counselors that a lot of people will say things to their parents that they would never say to their spouse.
Absolutely.
And that is so damaging. I mean, because you're putting a wedge. And so I really like what you're saying here, because I think too many people take the Bible kind of at a superficial level. I like to think of it in terms of mining. You know, they surface mine, and they don't even take the time to find out, you know, what did those words biblically mean? You know, we hear them kind of in our modern understanding of words, and sometimes it's not the same as those of us that are students of the original language would say. And so, you know, people should take the time to do what your fine little booklet does, is explain what does God mean by leaving. It's not just physically, geographically putting some space. It is emotionally, financially, and, you know, that's the thing that I think most of us recognize can be a real issue with our in-laws. Sometimes intentionally or unintentionally, these emotional, you know, strings are kept there and used, and financial strings are kept there and used to almost run the new family of the children's marriage like they're still kids, you know, of them. And that just is really harmful, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And that means as a husband and wife, if they're committed to Jesus Christ, if they're committed to the Lordship of Christ in their lives, they need to come to the Lord, search the Scriptures to see how the Lord would have them function and how the Lord would have them relate to one another. And in terms of the decisions they make, certainly their parents can be resource persons, but they're no longer authority persons. Now it's the couple before God seeking the direction of God. If the parents agree, then fine. But if they are convinced that some decision they're making is in keeping with what the Scripture teaches and in keeping with what the Word, what God would have them do, then even if their parents are offended or in disagreement with them, they are going to be mature enough, adult enough, to make up their own mind. Now, it's not a matter of, well, I'm going to show my mom and dad, and just playing the blame game and writing them off and refusing to do something because mom and dad did it or mom and dad didn't do it. And so it's this matter of growing up in Christ to the point where you can accept disagreement, you can accept the counsel of other people, but in the end, the husband and wife together must make up their own mind in terms of what God would have them to do. Now, if they're just reacting against mother and dad, then they're still tied to mom and dad, and they really haven't left them.
I know of so many marriages that have just gotten in serious trouble because, you know, one or both of the parents have always thought like that you're always going to be, you know, my little child, and so we're going to give you supposedly gifts of money and advice, free advice, but we expect you to honor that and do whatever we say then, you know, that it's a gift with conditions. And we all hear that and go, how can a gift be with conditions? You know, I've known some people, Wayne, and maybe you, who an in-law is coming or a parent has come to a child that just got married and say, you know, I'd like to honor you with some a financial gift or so forth. And people have said, well, are, you know, fine and well, but we really don't want to accept that because we want to kind of do it our own, you know, and not have any obligation. And the parent will say, oh, no obligation. I don't want any of that. And then we hear the horror stories later on of, you know, they bring it back up. And so it can create stress and strain with seemingly great intentions. It just creates this strong competition between letting this new family, this new husband and wife in Jesus Christ, stand their on their own as one family under Christ, but still, I like what you're saying because I know it's biblical, still honoring their biological parents, but not letting them continue to call all the shots like they used to.
And in reality, when you do that kind of thing, you're not honoring your mother and father. Because honoring means your main concern is what God wants you to do. And if your parents are encouraging you to do something that God would not want you to do, it's not even good for the parents for you to succumb and follow their counsel if their counsel is contrary to the will of God. Now, I make it a point that if you just are reacting against your parents, if you're unwilling to listen to their counsel, if you're unwilling to use them as resource people, then you haven't grown up. You're still a child, and you need to grow up and become mature in Jesus Christ. And it's the husband and wife working together. You have a new unit. They're one flesh, and they're to make decisions together. And listen to mom and dad. Evaluate whether what they're saying is really biblical. But then if it really is not based upon the Scriptures or something that is in keeping with the Scriptures, then you say, mom and dad, we love you. We thank you for your input into our lives. We
listen to God more. So we're going to have to listen to a little break here, Wayne, and come back on the other side here on Faith and Family. Stick with us.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
If anyone still doubts that the IRS gives pro-life organizations a hard time, you can listen to proof. Anya Joseph is president of Pro-Life Revolution, a group that ministers to women facing a crisis pregnancy. Anya recorded a phone conversation with IRS agent Sherry Wan as she lectured her on what the pro-life group could and could not do. During the recording, you can hear Wan speaking in a heavy accent, telling Anya the group shouldn't reach out to women or protest at abortion mills. It took them almost 2.5 years to get their tax-exempt status, which finally came through a little more than a week ago. Visit today's broadcast link at lifeissues.org to listen to the conversation. Does anyone think this would have happened with a pro-life president? Always vote pro-life.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
As you endure another 8 hours in your cubicle, you dream about something more. A job that gives back. A way to impact your community. Something you actually care about. Good thing you're listening. There's someone looking for you. Thrivent Financial for Lutherans is a unique, faith-based Fortune 500 company that specializes in providing financial services that make a difference, and they'd like you to join their family. Thrivent Financial is looking for financial representatives to enhance the lives of their clients. As a financial representative, you'll have more than a job. You'll have a career that you can be proud of. Thrivent Financial offers excellent earning potential, a flexible schedule, as well as healthcare options, a 401k, and other benefits. For information, call 314-783-4200. That's 314-783-4200. Escape your cubicle. Discover what it's like to work with purpose at Thrivent Financial. Go to thrivent.com.
After 86 years of continuous broadcast operations from the world's oldest broadcast studio, we'll close these doors and begin a new chapter in the history of KFUO. We'll begin broadcasting from our brand new studios on Monday, June 24th, and you're invited to a special 10 a.m. dedication service and reception at our new location in the International Center of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. So join us in person or on the radio Monday, June 24th at 10 a.m. as we continue to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to the world.
America shouldn't be sending foreign aid to regimes that persecute Christians. Paul, who's considering running for president, told the Conservative Faith and Freedom Coalition,
"There's a war on Christianity, not just from the liberal elites here at home, but worldwide. And your government, or more correctly, you, are having to pay for it."
The Kentucky Republican said,
"It angers me to see my tax dollars supporting regimes that put Christians to death for blasphemy against Islam."
Noting the presence of Christians in the Middle East since the time of Christ, Paul said,
"Today, Christians in Iraq, Libya, Egypt, and Syria are on the run, persecuted or under fire. And yet we continue to send aid to the people who are chasing them."
Another possible 2016 presidential contender, Florida Senator Marco Rubio, said it's a mistake for Republicans not to speak about Christian values. He noted that Jesus urged his followers to be salt and light in the world around them. I'm Steve Coleman.
Thanks for sticking with us here on Faith and Family. I'm your host, Rod Zwanitzer. This week, talking about in-laws, topic that we don't talk about enough. So we're glad that you've joined us on this conversation. You can tell us your questions or comments about in-laws. You can call us with those at 314-505-7850 in the St. Louis area, or worldwide, 1-800-730-2727, or email us at family@kfuo.org. Wayne, we're talking about what does the Bible truly mean by leaving your father and mother and being one with your new wife or husband. And you had some really good ones here that you mentioned just briefly, that we have to change our relationship with our parents, our dependency, and we can't continue to look to them as our source for decision making, or our source for confidential statements. And we all know that those can be some of the biggest wedges between husband and wife when we turn to anybody else other than our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, horror stories about the young couple, either one of them, that is running into problems with their marriage, and before they even tell their spouse, they go and tell mommy or daddy or both. That can be very damaging, can it?
Yes, it is. Yes, it can be. And that should, of course, not be, because the husband and wife relationship is the, next to our relationship with God through Jesus Christ, is the priority relationship. But in some issues, in some instances, that's not true, that they are really tied to their parents either by resentment or bitterness, or they're tied to them in the sense that they haven't learned how to make decisions in a godly and in an adult fashion.
Yeah, you talk about that maturity as a Christian, and I think a lot of that maturity is trusting in the Lord when you run into difficulties and little bumps in the marriage road. And so, the fun thing is you grow in your problem-solving and decision-making ability as a couple, as a husband and wife, and as a new family. And another area we get in trouble is, you have to be willing sometimes to give up traditions or compromise on them. And no probably bigger one that we have problems with is, where do you take the grandkids for Christmas especially, right, and celebrations? Who gets the grandkids, when you got two sets of family, and typically you can't, and sometimes even when you want to put those together, one side says, well, we've always did this on this day, and it causes problems, right? So we even have to be mature and kind of develop some of your own.
Yes, well, that's why, one reason why it's so important to get the right kind of premarital counseling. I was just, right now I'm in Texas, and we're staying with some folks who at one point were students of mine, and they do a lot of counseling now, and they use my book, Preparing for Marriage God's Way, and part of my book, Preparing for Marriage God's Way, has a section on specifically counseling in the area of in-law relationships, and they were saying that one of the things that they do when they're doing premarital counseling is they bring the parents in, and they not only talk to the couple about the way they should relate to their parents on both sides of the situation, but they also talk to the parents about the way that they should relate to the couple after they get married. And that's so important because sometimes it's immaturity on the part of the husband or the wife in terms of they've never learned to make decisions on their own. Perhaps their parents have never taught them how to make decisions, but rather their parents, as they grew up, made for them. And as a result of that, the person either reacts against because they feel controlled by mom and dad, or they become emotional cripples, as it were, and immature in terms of not knowing how to make decisions. Somebody else has to make their decisions for them. And so, one of the things that's important for parents, it's our responsibility. I mentioned at the beginning of the program that when God gave this wonderful statement in Genesis 2:24, which is also found in Matthew 19 and Ephesians chapter 5 and also in Mark chapter 10, this wonderful statement, which is the blueprint for the marriage relationship, leaving mother and father, cleaving to one another, and becoming one flesh. When God gave that that statement, they didn't have children, and so in effect, God was telling Adam and Eve at that point that when you do have children, it's your responsibility to raise them, but you're to raise them so that they will leave rather than become continue to be dependent upon you. And that means as parents are raising their children in a godly way, they're going to teach them how to make decisions rather than make all of their decisions for them.
Thanks for that. Now, one of these things that you talk about too, Wayne, is by what is meant by leaving your mother and father is not having the tendency to play the blame game. Talk to us a little about that.
Well, there's so many people who want to blame all the problems that they have today on, well, mom and dad did this or mom and dad didn't do this. I wasn't appreciated. I wasn't respected. They didn't love me the way they should have loved me. And frankly, at that, as long as they're doing that kind of thing, it's like in the booklet that I have mentioned here, that you, we were talking about, I've said that as long as you're doing that, you are still putting, you still have money in the bank. I use the illustration of as long as I have run up any money, bought anything on my credit card, as long as I haven't paid that bill, I'm still tied to the credit card company, and they're not going to let me go until I pay the entire amount. And when I have bitterness or resentment or I'm blaming my present problems on my mother or father, I'm still tied to them, and I won't have real freedom until I come to the place where I will realize, yes, mom and dad have had an influence on me. I came from, in a sense, a dysfunctional family, but that's true of all of us, that all of us have dysfunctional family because there isn't any perfect family. We're all sinners, and as sinners, we aren't perfect parents. Some of us are more godly than others, but nonetheless, none of us do it perfectly, and so we come to the place where we can say, yes, mom and dad didn't always do what they should have done. They didn't treat me perhaps the way that I should have been treated, but with the help of the Holy Spirit, I'm a Christian now, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I don't have to be tied to what happened to me in the past. I can be free, and I can overcome whatever problems I may have, which may have been the result of some of the bad influence on the part of parents, but they're not responsible anymore. Now I am responsible. In Deuteronomy 24 and verse 16, the Bible says that the parents will not be responsible for the sins of the children, and it says that the children will not be responsible for the sins of the fathers. And God says every one of us will give account of himself to God. So every one of us must take a responsibility and look at ourselves, see where we are not living in a way or thinking or desiring in a way that God wants us to think, and seek the forgiveness of God for our own sins, and then seek the help of God to make the changes that we need to make and stop blaming. We need to stop blaming society. We need to stop blaming our parents. Yes, they had an influence, but the fact is now if I'm a believer, I can change. I don't have to be tied to the past. I can become a new person in Jesus Christ and learn how to handle situations differently. So the blame game is tremendously destructive, and in counseling I've seen that so often where people want to excuse their present failures on what their parents did or what their parents didn't do. That's not to say that the parents weren't responsible. That's not to say that the parents did everything right. They may not have done everything right, but that's to say, thank God, we are not tied to our parents, and we now can change on our own part, and we can learn from that. And hopefully, when we have our own children, we can honestly evaluate what the positives in terms of our parenting, as well as the negatives. If they did something wrong, we need to ask God for help, not to allow that to influence us. And there may come a point, too, as I have had the opportunity of working with people, where if the parents have really done something sinful against them, they've treated them wrongly, they need help in knowing how to go to their parents, and in love, confronting them about their sin and pointing them to Christ, so that the parents would even seek forgiveness first of Christ, but then seek forgiveness of the children as well.
Now, the biblical admonition to leave our biological parents and you know, cleave tightly to our new marriage is not just about leaving some things behind, but it's also about putting some new things on. Talk to us a little bit about that, if you would, Wayne.
Well, it certainly, there's the change in the Bible is always a two-factor process, and that's why you have so many passages which says, put off this, then it says, put on this. And so if we're really going to become adult and mature in Jesus Christ, we put some things off, but change is not just a matter of displacement, it's a matter of replacement. It's not just a matter of dehabituation, it's a matter of rehabituation. So, go ahead.
These new relationships, it's really, I like what your emphasis is on maturity, which means taking responsibility. And so we kind of have to be proactive in the best sense of that word about our new relationship. And one of those I really appreciated, Wayne, was when you talked about that we must really move towards treating our spouse's parents, or I like the Aussie word, the mate's parents, as we would treat our own under Christ. And so that's not an easy thing to do. It's something that we have to work at, you know. And I love the biblical admonition also that not only to repent when we make errors, but you know, bring forth the fruits of repentance, which means you got to work hard at not just saying you're sorry anymore or doing the blame game, but work hard at bringing change into your life and into your relationship. So let's spend a little time. You got a great section on guidelines for all of this. Share with us some of your favorites, if you would.
Well, I tell a young couple that they must not allow their parents to demean their mate. In other words, mother doesn't like something the son-in-law does and goes and talks to the daughter about it. Instead of that, daughter should say, Mom, I love you, but I also love my husband, and I'm one flesh with him. And so if you have something negative to say about my mate, then you ought to say it. The Bible says that if somebody sins, you go to them privately and you talk to them. So you ought to go to them and not to allow the mates to, because the parents in that way can interfere in that relationship. Just as if I, when I got married to my wife now, that's 56 years ago, but when I got married to my wife Carol in 1957, if at that point Carol was going to her mother and her father and talking negatively about me, she would be teaching her parents to think negatively about me. And so it's very important that the mate doesn't run to mom and dad and dump all their garbage on mom and dad, because obviously there is an emotional relationship between biological children and their parents, and so she should do whatever she can to help her mother or father to think well of the husband and not allow the parents to demean the mate. It also means that wherever she has the opportunity, that she should take that, or it could be him as well. I'm talking using the word she, and I'm not being chauvinistic here. I'm just using a term that she should do whatever she can that whenever her husband treats her well, or there's a good quality or characteristic in his life, that she ought to comment to that to her mother and father to build up their respect for the mate. And then it means to make an effort to, I've known of situations where the person has been relating to his or her mother or father, and the mate by marriage is kind of left out, and he's not in that situation. You should make every effort to include that mate in whatever decisions are made. It also means that they should, when there are problems that arise between them and their parents, they should decide together, they should pray together, they should seek God in terms of being a mature person and not just dump on the other person's parents and just negatively talk about the other parents, but they should be able to find their security in Jesus Christ. Not, again, this is the issue where you are finding your security, you're finding your assurance in Jesus Christ. Not, you don't need somebody else to constantly prop you up. You don't need mom and dad to say, well, this is wonderful, that's great. And so at that point, they need to work together. And if there are problems, they discuss it together. They go to the Word of God together. They pray about it. Perhaps if they have a godly counselor, someone who knows the Word of God, as certainly I have on many occasions, I've had couples who are having problems who have come to me and said, here's the situation. Just recently I had a young lady whose mother was and father were trying to run her life, and that she comes and along with her husband, and they're saying, this is what's happening. How should we approach them? And we talked about how they should approach them and what they should do. In the little booklet that I wrote, I have a letter here which I suggest that a couple write before they get married. But if they haven't done that and decided what the Bible indicates about the way that married people should relate to their parents, if they haven't done it before marriage, then they should do it afterwards. Sit down and think out together what the Bible might say about the way that they relate to one another. And my little booklet and also my book, Sweethearts for a Lifetime, gives a lot of help in that particular area in terms of how to do it. But they need to think through carefully what they believe is the way they should relate. And then if necessary and the parents are not treating them in the way that they should be treated, I say you go to them, either write a letter to them, or else you go to them, and I'm suggesting you say, I want to thank you for your love and devotion to me as I was growing up. You've been good parents, if you can honestly say that, at least not perfect parents, but good parents. Bring me up in the instruction and discipline of the Lord. You've been used of God to make me what I am. You make comments about positive things as much as you can, honestly do. And then you go on to say, at this time, since we are married to one another, our relationship between us and you must change. And then you go on to describe from Scripture what you believe the Bible would say about how you as a couple would make decisions, all the while saying whatever positive you can to the parents to let them know that you're not slamming them, you're not condemning them, you're not writing them out of your life, you're not saying you've done everything horrible and terrible. Say whatever positive you can honestly say to them, but then you also make it clear that because we love Christ and because we love each other, we want a marriage that is the kind of marriage that God wants us to have, and we want our relationship with you to be the kind of relationship that God would want it to be. And since that's true, this is the way we're going to relate. Now, you don't do that in a nasty way, but you do that in a positive and yet in a very affirmative way. I think that's so important for the couple to decide together how they believe God would have them relate and not get into the emotional issues where we are defending our parents, we're unwilling to honestly evaluate their strengths as well as their weaknesses. And every parent has strengths, perhaps some less than others, but we look for their strengths, but we also look for their weaknesses. And that's growing up, and that's being mature, that we don't have to have perfect parents or think that our parents are perfect. With us, with our four children, and now with four in-laws as well, we weren't perfect parents. Nobody is. And so my wife and I have had to sit down, and we evaluate her family. We evaluate our family, or my family. We are able to see their strengths. We're able to see their weaknesses. But we don't take it as an attack. If my wife says something that may be a bit negative about my parents, I don't take that as an attack and think that I have to defend my parents and think that in saying something negative about my parents, she's saying that her parents were so much better than my parents.
Sure.
That's an indication of immaturity, not
What do you think, Wayne, of the and this happened with my in-laws, both of whom are with the Lord now for some years. They were delightful that before we got married, they set my wife to be and me down and said that they were rejoicing over this, and they wanted us to know that they were going to treat us as they would any other Christian family, just that this was their daughter and their new son, and that they expressed that if we thought that they were ever interfering in ways or situations where they shouldn't, if we would just tell them that. And I love that, and I never really had to go to them and express that, and they said a lot more things about the new relationship. That was wonderful for me, and that helped me express that, you know, I was going to establish it as a new family and as in this new marriage under Christ. And I would never want to do anything that would demise my wife's opinion or relationship with them in a negative, harmful
Absolutely.
Way. And the wonderful years that we had together, they were always that way. Never interfering, always supportive. If you asked them opinion, they were quick to give you one. If you didn't ask for their opinion, they didn't give you one. It was delightful. Wayne, we have enjoyed so much our time with you. And I want to say, too, that to our listener out there, that we're going to link to where you can get a copy of this booklet and use it for yourself if you're on the children's side with married parents, married with parents, or if you're on the parent side, there's great stuff in here for you as well. How to prepare for leaving, and there's an appendix with application and discussion exercises, so you can do this in a Bible study setting or just between husband and wife, or mom and dad. And there's also a discussion of the family of origin study. There's an in-law inventory for adult children. There's an in-law inventory for parents. There's an appendix for kind of evaluation. How are we doing? There's an appendix for considerations for resolving conflicts in a godly way. And for all of that, and just for your being so kind on our show today, and we enjoyed it, thank you, Pastor Wayne Mark, and Wayne Mack, I'm sorry. And we've enjoyed it so much, and possibly we look forward to having you on the program again.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Wayne, and God's blessings as you teach the Word of God and help relationships here in the United States and back in your home country of Pretoria, South Africa. So God's richest blessings to you, Wayne.
Thank you.
And you can join us tomorrow again where we're going to talk with Dr. Brian Salmanen. He's a Christian counselor, and he has a service called Zoe Counseling. He's going to tell us all about that. He's a pastor, Lutheran pastor up in Michigan, a good friend, and a great Christian counselor. And so we're going to continue this discussion about in-laws under Christ, under the Word of God. So join us tomorrow here on Faith and Family.